All right, welcome. This is our next episode of Restore Justice with attorney and author Bruce Starom, who's also the founder of Administer Justice. Season one, Bruce, of our podcast is all about unpacking the ABCs of effective gospel justice. We call it restorative biblical justice, and how everyone from busy lawyers to everyday volunteers are doing justice God's way in their communities. For those that haven't heard the previous couple of episodes, the ABCs really are about A stands for affirming. There, we're looking to affirm the dignity of the individual, the sustainability of the ministry providing care to them. B is for biblically rooted, biblically based, and holistic. We're actually going to dive into that today. And then C, we'll be learning about how important it is for it to be church-led, team-supported, and neighborhood-based, right? So before we jump into session five, which is understanding what it means for restorative justice to be holistic, talk about the mission of this podcast.
So we want to encourage people who are seeking justice and who are trying to bring holistic care to communities of need. So our volunteers and others out there in the field that are seeking to do justice God's way. And so that's what we're seeking to, and that's a restorative justice. That's why we call this Restore Justice, because we want to see people restored in relationship with God. We want to see people restored in relationship to neighbor, and that's what true justice is all about. So hopefully this is helpful as we go through the ABCs and as we continue to just talk about God's heart for justice in seasons going forward.
That sounds great. All right, let's dive into it. Talk to us about what you think when you say the word holistic in the terms of giving, providing justice and care to people. What is that? How does that play out?
That's understanding the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why it's biblical and holistic, because the Bible is holistic, right? Yeah. We are whole people, bodies, minds, affections, wills. And that's why the Bible even encourages us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? We are whole beings. Mm-hmm. And whenever we parcel people out and we make them just problems to be solved instead of neighbors to be loved, as we've discussed before, we can too easily come in with an implicit bias. We can see somebody as lesser than, made in the image of God. We can see them as a label. Mm-hmm. Oh, that person is black, or that person is Hispanic, or that person is an immigrant,
or
that person
poor, or
is
whatever.
Poor.
Yeah.
Correct. Or that person is wealthy, or that person is, you know, it doesn't matter. Those are labels created by men.
Yeah, yeah.
God just has one label, my child, right? Made in my image, precious in my sight.
Got it. So in that sense, people can get very myopic when providing care. And even in the church, you know, any other ministries, you can get so myopic in just seeing them through that immediate need you're meeting that you miss the boat on the real opportunity to be holistic.
Right, and we can see people more as lacking something, and therefore we have to be kind of a savior to meet that lack, whereas Jesus is the only one who will fill that hole to really bring holistic healing.
Makes sense.
He's the one that will fill that. And people have assets. People have things that they bring to the table. And when you listen and you lean into that, then you can help empower them instead of doing for them or taking away from them.
And I think you mentioned the problem with the law is that it's designed to be somewhat transactional, right? Talk a little bit about that.
Exactly. The law is set up to be transactional. You pay me a big fee and I'll do for you, instead of transformational, which means I'm going to do this with you. We're both broken people in need of a savior, and I'm going to sit across from you. I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to lean into, and I'm going to bring some unique gifts to the table with a law degree or in other areas, but we're going to go through this together because we're in this together. And so that's just an important thing. And think about it this way, like in the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. So Joe, as you get older, just don't do it. No, I guess we all get older, but you'll start to see doctors more.
Yeah.
And people do complain, rightly so, about our healthcare system. I mean, I've been going to different specialists, different doctors for an issue, and it is just so frustrating because I am a problem to them that they run tests on, that they do these things for, but they never actually enter into conversation to see how you are. They never actually look at you.
Get me to the diagnosis quick.
They just want to try to fix something and throw a pill at it.
Yep, yep.
Instead of really listening and diving in holistic medicine. There's a whole field of medicine
That understands
that natural remedies, that other things, and by paying attention to people, they're going to be better served, and they're going to have better health outcomes. Same thing in the law. People understand that in health field, but that's what we need to do in law, because we don't understand that in law, that we really do need to see people holistically and address them as whole people and think about the solutions a little differently. It's not just throwing a pill, which is, in this case, throwing a lawsuit or throwing something. It's really looking at the whole situation and trying to meet people where they are and take them to where God would want them to be.
That's great. What's a kind of a biblical picture that people can use when kind of thinking this through about being holistic and seeing the whole person and not just seeing someone as transactional?
I love the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Okay.
Most of us are familiar with that from Luke 10. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a great story. It's a great story for many levels, right? Because most of us would think the hero would be that priest and Levite. If people aren't familiar with the story, and probably everybody is, that there's this man injured on the Jericho road, bleeding, half dead, he's been injustice. He suffered injustice. Right? He was just going along, and then suddenly something happened. And that's what happens to so many of our neighbors. They're just going along, and then suddenly they lose a job. Suddenly somebody walks out on them. Suddenly a health issue descends, and they find themselves on the Jericho Road. One lesson is all of us could be that person. And that was Jesus' point. We should identify with that person who's injured.
Yep.
And then what would you want? There are these good people that just walk by. There's a Levite and a priest. They just walk by. And yet the Bible says that they saw him.
Hmm.
Can you imagine if you're that person and somebody sees you, but they don't really see you?
Right.
Because they
look
didn't
right
truly
through you.
See. They just look right through them and go on by. But a Samaritan, the last person in the world to stop in the Jewish world to help someone would have been a Samaritan for a Jew. They hated each other. Hmm. That was like racial tension at its worst.
Hmm.
But the Samaritan stops because he sees a neighbor in need, and he takes his resources, takes time, and to see that person restored. And I think in America, I think that's a great picture of the lawyer, because honestly, there are a lot of lawyer jokes. I like them. Some of them are very good, but they're there for a reason, because we just do not rank high on the trust poll or on the liked poll.
Yeah.
We're right down there with politicians. I mean, it's just on the bottom of the scale. And when that's the person that stops, that actually sees you, looks at you, doesn't look through you, but actually sees you and listens to your story and seeks to then restore you, apply restorative justice, that turns your world upside
massive.
Down. And when that person prays for you, that's the last thing world you expect of a lawyer.
Right. So you're really turning the tables on people's perspective and, again, opening that door for them to say, wow, this is different. What's different about this person? I need to know more.
So, Joe, I know that my image of poverty growing up was somebody that lived in an urban area, under bridges, around heating kettles, right? And they're homeless, they're drug addicted, they're alcohol addicted.
Yeah.
And I just had no idea. They were carrying those signs. They were pandering for money.
Mm-hmm.
That was my image of the poor. That is just simply not true. The number one poor person in America continues to be a single white mom with a child under the age of 6. And that was not my image. And in the most recent report that was just released prior to the airing of this episode, the supplemental poverty measure showed that childhood poverty doubled over the last year. And so they are children that live in poverty. And so it's not an issue of, wow, this person did something that caused them to need legal help or to be poor, and should I really help them? There are lots of circumstances that bring people to that road of poverty. The other thing about poverty in America is it's more episodic. A lot of people think it's generational, but it's not. It's episodic. Most people move and transition in and out of poverty over a 4-year period of time.
Interesting.
And so if we can be there to meet them when they need help, we can reduce that time, and we can move them out of poverty into what God has for them, human flourishing, shalom, instead of ignoring the problem and then allowing it to get worse and potentially throwing somebody into generational poverty and affecting these children that had no choice in the circumstances around them.
Wow, interesting. And it back to your story of the Samaritan, that there's this kind of, one, you know, two people walk by, one stopped. There's a lot to learn from that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got to stop.
Yeah.
We got to be that Samaritan. That was Jesus' point, right? We don't want to be the pious, nice people. I mean, honestly, Levites and priests, those are good people, nice people.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus's point was, hey, if you see a need and you can meet that need, you need to do that. You need to stop and serve.
That's
great. Now, I had to learn that as a lawyer in my early career. One of my first great teachers, because we do learn from those who are blessed to come alongside, was a man named Jonathan. Again, my image was what I described earlier of somebody who was homeless. Jonathan was homeless. I'd never met somebody who was homeless. He was charged with just trying to keep warm in a grocery store. Again, I live in the Chicago area. It gets cold in Chicago. And so he's just trying to keep warm, but we don't like that. Patrons, you know, don't like having somebody around, and so we criminalize it. He's picked up by the police, charged with trespassing, thrown in jail, released. He's at a church getting food, a breakfast, and talking about this charge. Well, they knew about myself and administered justice. They referred me to him, and then I asked if I could take him to breakfast before court. I just wanted to hear a story. So I did. I picked him up, went to breakfast, and honestly, Jonathan had a master's degree. That was not my image of somebody who's poor, right?
No.
He's a white guy in the suburbs, and he was very successful, but when his company merged, he lost his job. That happens a lot of times, right? You get rid of mid-level management in these mergers, and he thought for sure he'd find work, but work was hard to come by. Unemployment was low, and you just couldn't find a job. And so he got dressed up, tried to go off to work, thought for sure it would come. It didn't. He didn't tell his wife. That only made matters worse. Then bills mounted, lawsuits followed, foreclosure followed. His wife, he came home one day and his wife was gone, daughter's gone. He hadn't heard from them in years.
Wow.
And after the foreclosure happened, he found himself on the streets. So it was just this domino effect that cascaded downward. And on the streets, he did turn to alcohol as a way of just numbing the pain. But he said people looked, what we were just saying, they did not see him. They looked through him. They didn't want to be near him. He just felt so rejected. And all I could think of, Joe, as I looked into the eyes of Jonathan, was I saw the eyes of Jesus. Because he was a man who was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and suffering, and we esteemed him not.
Right.
He was a man, the Bible tells me, had no place to lay his head. And as I talked to Jonathan about Jesus that morning, that there was a man who saw him, who understood, identified with him in his suffering and his challenges, and that he wanted a relationship with him. Over conversation over breakfast that day, Jonathan prayed to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Before you guys went to court.
Before we went to court. Then we went to court, we got those crazy charges dismissed, taken care of. But then in the holistic approach, plugged him into a local church. It's why we'll talk about why we're located in churches. Because now the church had a Celebrate Recovery program, so he could get off alcohol, and so that he could join a men's group, a men's Bible study. That's what we plugged him into. And then he was able to build relational networks through them that led to work. And it just began a path toward human flourishing, which is exactly what God desires.
I know you just gave one example, but this is not a one-off thing. That's the point I want listeners to understand is the Jonathan story is replayed hundreds of times a year with people doing this kind of restorative justice all over the country.
Amen, because it is what is not expected. It's not expected from the church. That they actually care. The church is being increasingly seen as apathetic to the needs of the poor and vulnerable. And so when they walk into a church, they're kind of have some fear, uncertainty, but they meet this loving, caring team. Again, it's that power. It just turns the world upside down. And people are really wrapping themselves around them. They love them. They care for them. And they're providing hospitality. They're providing welcoming. They're providing prayer and care. And it makes all the difference in the world. And so that's what we see.
Yeah. The last couple of episodes, you've kind of given us the voice of someone, either an attorney or a client or somebody. You got one that kind of helps us wrap up this episode?
Absolutely, because they come in every week. That's your point. It's not a one-off. It's not a rare thing. It's not something I have to go way back in time. Literally from this last week, one client wrote and told us, I felt seen and heard. The attorney was very patient with me as I explained how frustrating it has been dealing with this particular problem. Her instructions were very clear, and I thoroughly appreciated the kindness she displayed throughout our meeting time.
Interesting. See, isn't that a picture of what you're calling in the ABCs, biblically rooted and holistic, seeing the whole human and delivering the entire package of care? This is fun. We're completing this episode. We'll see you at the next one.
Restore Justice is a podcast production of Administer Justice. Learn more and connect with us at administerjustice.org.